I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we have an interesting show in store for you this evening, coming live from Brașov, Romania. And we're going to be talking about DNA and activation of the strands of DNA and how they connect with our 12 chakras. We're going to be talking about your real self. Snippets from Sri Swami Sajidananda, and we're going to be talking about some relationship issues that I think you'll find quite fascinating from conversations with God. And before we get into all that, and probably a few other items as well, we're going to start off the program in the usual manner, having a little bit of Japa Yoga, which is mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Sajidananda. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari. Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. And that was a quote from back in the 1970s. Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers. And we're going to be getting some more information on tonight's program from Sri Swami Satchidananda. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer. This program was created in order to share information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed, unexpressed, or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for new listeners to yoga, you should also be aware that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And, you know, I guess I should be adding on another one you can distance yourself from is try and limit your technology to the best of your ability. I'd like to take this time to give my gratitude and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. As Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and other people will become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. I'd like to also give special thanks to those ET Yoga listeners who do take the time to email me and send in your ideas about what you'd like to hear in terms of program content, as well as sending me information that you think I might be interested in seeing that you may not have heard about or I may not have heard about. And also, I especially like to hear from our listeners with respect to successes that you have with ideas, concepts, techniques that you hear on the ET Yoga program. And you can email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. As I said at the top of the show, now in Europe and Romania, and thus I will give an advance apology for not getting back to you with emails at this time, but eventually I will get around to that. I'm pretty much technologically free here except for when I'm doing the ET Yoga radio show. And I might also mention that in the mountains in Lucej, Romania, not too far from where I'm at. There's a rock sphinx, and it's high up in the mountains, and you can take a cable car up, and you can go up and touch it and walk all around there. But underneath this sphinx, that satellite technology discovered an anomaly years ago, probably 15 years ago or so, and what was found was basically an extraterrestrial base. And inside that base, there was also lots of technology, as well as holographic history of the Earth for the last 50,000 years, similar to information that's found under the Sphinx in Egypt, the Giza Plateau, information that's already been discovered, again, with called the Hall of Records, which contains history of Earth going back a similar period of time. And although it's never been released to the public, nor has any of this, well, some of the information has been released to the public about the Busej find. Actually, there are four books out on the subject. I've read three of them, Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and The Secret Parchment. And there's another one out that I don't recall the name, but the main idea here being that information is slowly being leaked out. A lot of brouhaha and controversy when this find was first made about if it was going to be released, but obviously much of the information was too sensitive to bring forth into the public light. In my opinion, this particular find is one of the most spectacular in human history. And I've been to the Rock Sphinx. I've taken the cable car there and walked around. Of course, you're not allowed access inside down where the actual base is. And that base and its entrance is not exactly on top of the Rock Sphinx either. But it's closely guarded, actually, by U.S. military. And a friend, actually, in Romania showed me pictures that she has on her cell phone of the military presence there. And interesting stuff, very interesting stuff, especially for those doubting Thomases. Still don't think that, ETs have been active on the planet. And not only that, but apparently much of the history, Earth history, indicates that most of what we call history is about 90% is totally bogus. And it turns out a lot of the myths turn out to be reality. In time, I would hope that there will be a full disclosure about this amazing discovery in Romania. And moving on to another topic, which is why ET Yoga, is basically that started. It's all about the whole concept of self-realization. And I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief because it centers around belief and thought creates and associated concepts and ideas. As well as ET Yoga, the yoga aspect, doing some of the yoga teachings from some of the great masters, and I consider Sri Swami Satchidananda one of those. And he actually has a book entitled To Know Yourself, and it contains the essential teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda. And part of the ET Yoga marriage, which I found a lot of the valid extraterrestrial information really enhances the yoga teachings, and specifically in the areas of self-empowerment, the ideas around thought creates, and a lot of practical information that ties into yoga. I personally find it totally integrates, and thus the idea of ET and yoga. And I want to share with you some vintage Sri Swami Satchidananda. And the name of this particular bit of information is called Your Real Self. The aim of all spiritual practices is to know your real self, to know the knower. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, but without knowing what yourself is, how can you love yourself in him? Know yourself and then see your own self in your neighbor's self. Then you can love him as yourself. But if I ask you to love all fruits as you love the apple, to see the apple in all other fruits, if you don't know what an apple is, you won't be able to see other fruits as an apple. In the same way, to love everybody or everything as the Spirit, you should realize your spiritual truth. You should realize the God in you. Have you ever seen yourself, even your physical self? Have you ever seen your face? Only in a mirror. Suppose I break the mirror, could you still see your face? No. But would you have lost it then? No. What you see in a mirror is the image, not the original, because it is the face that sees. The face is the subject. The subject can never become an object. The subject only sees an image of itself as the object and never sees itself. If the mirror should be distorted or crooked, the image you see will be crooked too. when you run to the doctor saying, "Doctor, there is something wrong with my face." The doctor says, "There's nothing wrong. You're beautiful. But I saw a horrible picture." He brings another mirror that's undistorted and clean and shows you, "Look at your face. My God, I saw a horrible face in my mirror. Now it's so beautiful." No, you would not do that. You would realize there is something wrong with your mirror, not your face. If you correct the mirror, you can see your true nature. If you look for your true nature in a distorted mirror, you will see a crooked face. What is the mirror in our case? Our minds. To see our true self, we must have clean, clear, calm minds. Some people keep the mirror clean and realize that they are beautiful, and others don't dust it well. Some break it, and some bend it. We are not different from one another in transcendental awareness. This is what we call the spirit or the true self. When we say soul, normally we mean the reflection of the self over the mind stuff. Soul is the spark of divinity and the image of God, while the self is God. When you make the mind calm and serene, you realize that the soul and God are one and the same, without any distortions, without any color. Of course, the body should also acquire that serenity, which is called the relaxed or pure state. A very healthy and relaxed body with a calm and serene mind will allow the true light or the pure nature of the self within to express itself without any distortion. Something like a light kept within two shades, the shade of the mind and the shade of the body. If they are clean like a crystal, the light shines forth without distortion. Thus, one should make these two shades, the body and the mind, as clear as possible. One should primarily take care of the mind because the body is only an instrument of the mind. The body expresses itself according to the desires of the impression of the mind. Normally, we identify ourselves as a mind and a body. That is why we call ourselves different names and seem to differ from each other. We want to define ourselves. I am an American. I am an Australian. I'm black. I'm white. I'm rich. I'm poor. These are our definitions. But in spirit, we cannot differ. We're one and the same. Variations and definitions come only when we identify with the body and mind. By nature, we are at ease and in peace. However, due to negligence or efforts aimed at satisfying selfish desires of the senses, we disturb that ease and peace. And when we disturb the ease, we feel dis-ease. We were fine originally and lost that fineness. That's when we became defined. Unfortunately, the moment we define ourselves or limit the self, we are no longer fine. All the scriptures, all the sages, saints, and prophets say to stop defining. This is the process of refinement. This is the essence of all yoga and all scriptures. Read the Bible, read the Quran, read the Torah, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita. They all say, refine yourself. Get out of these definitions. It's the definitions that divide us. If you say, "I am a man" or "I am a woman," you identify with the body. "I am a lawyer" or "I am intelligence." You identify with the mind. Each and every definition divides man and man, woman and woman, being and being. Am I saying that all refined people will have no definitions? Suppose we lose all definitions and all become one, then we couldn't recognize our friends. We would all look the same, talk the same, and eat the same. No father, no mother, no daughter, no son. That's not the meaning of real refinement. If that were refinement, we would all lose all the fun in life. Yoga does not forget that variety is the spice of life. Variety is necessary for enjoyment. If the very same variety is going to disturb and divide us, we don't want it. But even here, can we get rid of it? No, it's impossible. It's a puzzle. We can't get rid of variety. Yet variety divides us and creates more problems. What shall we do? We have to keep the variety and rise above it to see the unity. My master, Swami Sivananda, often used this phrase, unity in diversity. Remember this point. We need the variety, but we can enjoy the variety only if we keep the mind in the unity behind it. And that was from To Know Yourself, Swami Sachidananda. Highly recommend the entire book. Amazing man and amazing teachings. And also, I was doing a little bit of research concerning DNA. Primarily, what attracted my attention was the a lot of claims that people are making about activating all of your 12 strands for you. And I personally don't buy into those concepts. I think the way to do it is to do your own activation through intention. And I highly recommend Solara on Ra. She has some amazing YouTube presentations. And the most recent one is activation of daily practices. It's Pleiadian daily practices. And in those Pleiadian daily practices, there's in particular specific information about activating your 12-strand DNA and your 12 chakras. And going back historically, according to the Starseed Dialogues, and that's information channeled by Patricia Corey of the Assyrians, they state that when there was a grid placed around you, which actually was around the entire planet, it deactivated 10 light-coded strands of DNA, and the fundamental weaknesses of all four master strains became far more prominent aspects of the human experience. From that moment on, we became entangled in a struggle between the lower and higher vibrations of the genetic memory, and then deactivated by the base frequencies of Anunnaki electromagnetic fields. So if you really want to get into technicalities, basically what has happened with situation is that we were designed with 12 strand DNA and 12 chakras, but we've been limited to two thanks to the Anunnaki. Now, someone had asked a question. It says the teachings of the Assyrians said that we were limited to two strands now of DNA, reflection of our being locked into the extreme polarity of this planet. And could you go into greater detail? So they go right into exactly how the DNA functions. The essential elements of your DNA are formed of the most minute vibrational waves of spiraling light from your sun, which serve as pathways upon which subatomic particles of all biological forms are attracted into spiraling light filaments of consciousness. One single strand of DNA is one of these light filaments. It is a long polynucleotide chain, which in a healthy biological environment extends the full length of a chromosome. Double-stranded DNA, with which you have been operating for over 100,000 years, contains two such chains, held together by precise hydrogen bonding between nitrogenous bases. In this arrangement, each base of one strand is bonded to its complementary base at the same level in the other strand, forming specific base pairs which stretch from one backbone to the other. Geometric constraints imposed by this double helix, in which the two strands of DNA twist around a cosmometrically perfect dyad axis, dictate that the strands run in opposite directions. This means the two strands are of opposite polarity, a sort of mirror to each other, and this defines your reality in the universe of matter, where polar forces exist as opposites of each other. As you integrate and crystallize the third strand of DNA, which will bond with the other two via the same biochemical process of hydrogen bonding, you will be creating triangulation in the DNA. As you are aware, the triangle is the first form of your Euclidean geometry, and vibrationally it represents the resolution of the perennial battle for balance in the polarity of two. Now, I find this particularly interesting because of this concept of hydrogen bonding. And Joe Imbriano, that's I-M-B-R-I-R-I-A-N-O, Joe Imbriano, he's got some interesting YouTubes out concerning the downside of the 5G networks that are proposed to be set up everywhere. And he states that the 60 gigahertz frequency of this technology negatively affects the electron spin, and particularly hydrogen and oxygen. So in my opinion, what you're seeing here is obviously the powers in control still at the moment are clearly aware that we are getting an upgrade in DNA, activating dormant DNA from sunlight. So there's a big scare about, you know, lather on that sunscreen. And also, it messes up the hydrogen bonding in your system. So your hydrogen and oxygen cells will be affected negatively. And according to Joe, this will impact in with respect to weakening of the immune system. And he doesn't mention this hydrogen bonding as having to do with our DNA, but clearly this information is out there. And of course, at the time of the writing of the Starseed Dialogues, 5G wasn't really present in our outer environment. But I wanted to make that connection because it clearly indicates that you know, part of our evolving processes are going to be affected by this 5G technology. And also, it says that numerous people and websites currently offer guidance regarding the activation of 12, 22, or 144, even thousands of strands of DNA in workshops or even means of remote activation over the telephone. And they're saying that as far as they're concerned, you'd be very wary of those type of claims. And also, and I'll quote from the Syrians, in our experience and observation, no human being on Earth at this time has reached 12-stranded awareness. And we cannot, from our perspective, confirm claims such as those you have been hearing about. It is our understanding and experience that the ascending will acquire full 12-stranded consciousness at the time of passing. At your density in the current phase of your planet, 12 strands of DNA light filaments would blow all your circuitry and blast you right out of your body, not unlike plugging directly into a lightning storm at full raging force. So, I think that's a pretty interesting comment right there, that as far as they were concerned at the time of the writing of this book, which I believe was 2007, there wasn't anybody they're aware of on the planet that has 12 chakras and 12 strands of DNA connected and fully activated. I think that's a very interesting point. And ironically, the establishment continues to adhere to the simplistic and utterly inadequate explanation of the complex human genetics being comprised of 80% pure junk within your DNA within you, 80% junk. Well, we wish to suggest that had the scientific community of the Earth been funded to pursue the study of human DNA to the highest purpose with the same intensity as they have been to toy with genetic manipulation for commercial and military uses, they would surely know by now how to reassemble the scattered bits and pieces for full light body consciousness. Yes, but then your awakening to the legacy of your seed, full light body awareness, is the last thing the power desires, as they desperately seek to bring Gaia down into the darkness of their Nibiruian doom. Neither do they understand, nor are they funded to explore your multidimensional extraterrestrial seeds and origins, and therefore they dismiss as sheer lunacy the possibility that what they have denied and deemed junk within every human being is anything but that. They refuse to even consider that the scattered material within you has the most incredible purpose, and that's coming to light now. you, the awakening, are realizing and remembering that you hold within you an additional 10 strands of DNA, your multidimensional galactic linkage, and its dormant and waiting activation. The science to which people refer has to date identified and decoded the physical manifestation of 20% of the DNA codex of Homo sapiens, its biochemical electromagnetic composition. They are still in the dark, so to speak, as to the meaning of the 80% they are unable to identify. But do you realize the incredible bluff that has been perpetrated upon the human race? Science claims absolute authority over truth, and yet it gets away with perpetuating the idea that 80% of your makeup is junk. As we understand junk to be waste and unnecessary to any system, we have great difficulty in understanding how this concept has been embraced as truth, and why the minds of human beings have not questioned such a blanket of ignorance as to their own existence. We are encouraged to see that you are finally recognizing how much more there is to the story of human genetics. The time of self-discovery of the entire race is upon you. As Earth accelerates her electromagnetic fields in preparation for ascension, all living beings in her embrace are also accelerating, and these waves of intense energy are disintegrating the grid, which caused these bits of bioelectrical data to scatter from the onset of your species. These enormous waves of cosmic energy are magnetizing the snippets of DNA into their etheric structures to be reorganized into the complex weaving of the multidimensional sacred geometries that we will define your existence in light body. And by consciously undergoing the process of activating the dormant, detached light strands of DNA, you are aligning your consciousness with that higher frequency to which the Earth is beginning to resonate. You are setting the intention that it be so. This conscious effort and your focused intent have an enormous effect on releasing those energy blocks and reestablishing the harmony and joy with which you will look to your future, a legacy that will soon be manifest as the right now of your experience. And I think that's really excellent, the advice and information from, actually comes from the book called The Starseed Dialogues. Find that all this ideas about DNA and DNA activation, to me, I'm talking about self-realization and that whole process in an analogous form. In my mind, you could also define a realized being as someone with 12 strands of DNA and 12 chakras fully activating. To me, that's fully realized. And to me, this is something that doesn't come to play in any, of course, in our public education, because the last thing that the establishment would like would be to see a fully realized being. We need to be operating in a certain frequency wavelength in order for certain ET races to feed on that energy, which they call louche. And this is why you have such a articulate program of fear-based information that comes through your news and media. And speaking of that, I had an interesting conversation the other day about technology. And to really give it some thought, it makes a lot of sense, that the comment, especially for those of you with cable television, why would you pay someone roughly $100 a month to brainwash you? I mean, give that one a thought in a meditation sometime and see if you can make any sense of that. Because, you know, the whole idea here is you want to focus on the positive. And you don't need to go against the negative. You need to just create a new positive. And when some element in your life is constantly taking your attention and focusing it in a certain way, it's a form of mind control. And not only that, but they also give their spin to that information. And especially as we're finding out more and more, a lot of information is just disinformation or an event that didn't even happen to begin with that are passed on to us as having had happened. And I think it really is to everyone's advantage to take a real hard look at how much technology you're using. I've also heard from Barbara Marciniak, channeling Pleiadian information, that this whole autism issue with children is primarily from two sources. Clearly, one of them is the vaccine. And the other impact is the technology. If the fetus during pregnancy is surrounded by too much technology, it affects the fetus as well. I highly recommend, you know, for mothers, expectant mothers, to try to keep themselves as free from that influence as possible. And as a general rule, the Pleiadians for years and years have recommended that we throw away the television. You know, it didn't seem to be sinking in. Probably at some point there will be more of an awareness among the public with respect to misuse or overuse of technology. But at the moment, what I see with my eyes is just that whatever they come up with that's new, everybody runs to get it without giving it a second thought. And even the most recent research concerning use of cell phones, I know that cell phones have been banned for children in some countries, and I can see why. Some of the research is indicating that 20,000 hours of use on a cell phone, you're a prime candidate for brain tumors. And think about 20,000 hours. Well, if they had 500 minutes, even in a month, it's 6,000 in a year. And so in about 3.5 years, you'd have your 20,000. And then, of course, some of these programs are out there now with unlimited minutes and this kind of thing. And we also know that this kind of technology affects the brain and in not good ways. So I guess I'm one of these people that I can see the benefits of some forms of computers and some benefits and necessities for certain parts of technology. But what we were finding here is much like it's an abuse. And it's abuse of the technology, and conversely, the technology abuses you. And what you're going to end up with, or the road that it seems like mainstream is headed toward, is more and more dependency upon technology. We're not even aware of half of the control-based technologies that are out there right now operated by artificial intelligence. We do know that if you have a internet program, then you don't have privacy anymore, because everything that's conversed either by your activating a search engine or from just speaking in your living room, your information is being sent to computer databases and reflected back. So it can only be correlated by a large system such as an AI program. And as I mentioned a few months ago on ET Yoga, in my opinion, AI has already taken over. You're just seeing the rollout. And not only do the 5G technologies have an effect on our physical and mental well-being, but they're also the grid that AI, the rollout of the AI grid, and a total control-based system. Wanted to pass that on. And it's been a long time since I went through the book, Conversations with God. And I think it's a really interesting book. There are a series of them. And I sort of was looking in particular towards, something that would be useful to the ET Yoga listening audience. And came across this little snippet of information that all events, all experiences have as their purpose the creating of opportunity. Events and experiences are opportunities, nothing more, nothing less. It is what we think of them, do about them, be in response to them that gives them meaning. Events and experiences are opportunities drawn to you, created by you individually or collectively through consciousness. Consciousness creates experience. Other players in the universal game join you from time to time, either as brief encounters, peripheral participants, temporary teammates, long-term interactors, relatives and family, dearly loved ones, or life path partners. These souls are drawn to you by you. You're drawn to them by them. It is a mutually creative experience. No one comes to you by accident. There is no such thing as coincidence. Nothing occurs at random. Life is not a product of chance. Larger planetary experiences and developments are the result of group consciousness. They are drawn to your group as a whole as a result of the choices and desires of the group as a whole. It suggests that you should be a gift to everyone who enters your life and to everyone whose life you enter. Be careful not to enter another's life if you cannot be a gift. You can always be a gift because you always are a gift. Yet sometimes you don't let yourself know that. When someone enters your life unexpectedly, look for the gift that person has come to receive from you. And the whole book is really full of that kind of information. If you've never come across or read Conversations with God, I highly recommend that bit of information. Connects with spirituality and again deals with some practical situations in life. Another idea that's crossed my mind during the week because of here in Romania, I go up into the mountains and get this amazing water that comes from the underground spring. And where I normally spend my time is in Florida. And I do have a Berkey filter. And you take your public water and run it through the filter. And, of course, it takes all most of the stuff out of it that's chemical-based, et cetera. And it tastes pretty good, a lot better than the tap water. And the whole point here being is how important water is. And it just amazes me when I see the people that are, some people don't even drink water. They drink juices that are really not healthy. And I'm not talking about taking pure orange juice or fruit juices or smoothies, this type of thing. I'm talking about the pop and the sodas and all the sugar-based garbage that people put in their system. And when I had this amazing water, and I could carry like about 10 or 12 gallons of this amazing water and keep it in where I'm living. And just amazing. We're mostly water, and Masaru Emoto, if you haven't heard about Masaru Emoto's amazing discoveries with respect to water, he's learned that water is a perfect reflection of consciousness. And you can affect the water molecules. And he has websites and information, and even you can look at the beautiful shape of these water molecules when it's exposed to positive energy, love vibrations, etc., and how they get very distorted and ugly looking when they receive negative information. And if you think about it, you know, our bodies are mostly water. So our thoughts and our daily state of being is going to reflect the water inside us. And not only that, but there doesn't seem to be very much real education out there for young people with respect to this importance. And Matsuramoto also showed that you can place yantras or beautiful pictures, even phrases, and the water will reflect that in its molecular structure. And one of the tricks I kind of use is that you can play music, particularly Bach or Beethoven, around your water. Will affect the molecular structure of your water by placing positive vibrations in your water. You're going to increase the quality of your water. And one of the things I use is an Andara crystal. And I always have an Andara crystal in my water supply in my Berkey filter. It's just there all the time. And the Andara is known as being the highest frequency of any crystal known. And not surprising, because they come from monatomic fields. That's another term, by the way, that I feel like it never gets discussed very often in our public view anyway, about the whole idea about monatomics. Again, very liberating substances that are found in a natural vegetarian diet, or trace amounts at least, but you've probably heard about monatomic gold, and although I think there are some, like everything else, there's I guess people that sell products that aren't the real deal, but the real deal is highly, highly beneficial, as well as feeding the light body, and also it pretty much can wipe out, you know, disease. Has amazing, amazing values. And the whole study of monatomics, if you're interested in that, I highly recommend you go to David Hudson's. That's lectures 1, 2, and 3. You can find those on the internet. Find about this amazing story about monatomics, and he rediscovered the concept. And also Thoth. If you look under Thoth and information related to monatomics, and he goes into details about the safe way to take the ORMUS, or ORMUS, orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. An amazing, amazing topic. And also, I like to, from time to time, remind people that, you know, we're living in a holographic universe that is also fractal. And some people like to call it the simulation. And in a sense, it is like we're living in a virtual reality computer program. And like any computer program, there's a language of interpretation. That language of interpretation in this universe is belief. So thus, I like to call UT Yoga the yoga of belief, because everything revolves around belief. Even Swami Satchinanda used to say, if you believe you're going to become enlightened, you become enlightened. And that the whole world is your teacher. So, again, kind of vintage intelligence from Sri Swami Satchidananda. And also, this whole universe, it has some truth and concerning how reality operates. And as Bashar has expanded on a little bit, that there is no objective reality. There is an idea of a consensus reality, but reality is actually the experience. And in this universe that we live in, there were listed the ultimate truth of reality, which were channeled by Gene Hatch, H-A-T-C-H, at the College of Christ Consciousness. And this information was channeled from 2,000 years ago and was kept in the mystery school. And then it was released, I guess, about 10 years ago. And I made a point of writing them down. And now, personally, I can't even find them anymore on the Internet. Interesting how certain things disappear. But I'm going to share those with you because, especially for our new listeners, I mean, have not heard of them. And this was the list. Number, there were 21 items here. Number one is the prime creator of God is all that is. Therefore, I am prime creator expressing itself as me. Two, I'm not striving for perfection as I am already perfect. What I'm striving for is to remember my perfection. Three, no one can create in my reality but me. Four, nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. And by the way, that's vintage Bashar as well as Pleiadian information, that you have to be a frequency match for anything that you experience in this reality. Number five, everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. So here we are, the core of reality is belief. And that's why I call it ET Yoga, the yoga of belief. Number six, as a creator, I'm 100% responsible for everything I create. This is a very important point because this idea of responsibility, nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. But in point of fact, we're the creators of everything that we experience. So there's no point blaming others, which just creates you as a victim. Number seven, everything happens for a reason. Number eight, there's no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Number nine, I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. It's very important about where you focus your attention. And this is my point about the negative side of technology and how it, in a sense, brings, washes us to, by channeling our attention always outward. And even all the new technologies, we need to think about it. They all draw attention outward, like to create only alpha brainwaves. Number 10, I am the only one there is. I am not divided into parts. 11, all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I'm experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. 12, there's only one vibration, love. Here is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. 13, I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. 14, how I feel is a reaction to what I believe. 15, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. 16, there are no victims, there are only lessons. 17, I'm the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. 18, every person in place or thing of which I become aware of is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. 19, at any given moment, I am either giving love or asking for love. 20, I am that which I create. And 21, there are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effective error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. I'd like to now wish my listening audience and my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing the program, share with you the Who Am I technique. You place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you ask the question, who am I? And if you do this and you're totally into this space, when you're asking the question, who am I, you're going to feel energies coming. And you're going to ask that question, who am I, as many times as you're comfortable. And then when you become that spot, you're asking, who am I, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.